Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua, HaMashiach, Savior, Redeemer, soon coming King. Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for the gift of the breath of life. Thank you for allowing us this time, Father, to commune. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all our sins that we committed knowingly and unknowingly. Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen us, Father, where we're weak. Continue to perfect us. Continue to bring us closer to you. Father, we ask that you look after all our kins and anyone who is ailing physically, mentally, spiritually, Father, and heal them, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to protect us, lead us and guide us, Father. Continue to impart your mind upon us. Continue to just make us better sons and daughters. In Yahushua's name, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory, Father. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shiva. Shabbat shalom, family. Everybody, week was good, I pray. So, today we're going to be talking about prophets and their relationship with the Most High. Before we get started, I had a dream again. And this time was about one of our Zakin, our brother Eleazar. And in this dream, he was talking to the brothers, and he was sitting in a chair, and he was smiling, he was laughing. He was dressed in dark colors, but he was smiling and laughing and rocking forth, and he seemed a little thin when he was sitting in the chair. But overall, he was just laughing, he was smiling. You know, he seemed very happy and very content. And that was like, that's all I remembered out of the dream, is he was laughing and smiling, and he was quite happy. You know, so, in saying that, you know, Abba been showing me a couple things, because we had another dream about another brother who was happy, and all the brothers were happy, and everybody was happy. So I'm praying that Abba brings this to pass, brings all these things to pass that he's showing me. Don't know when, you know, so we just wait. But prayerfully, he brings all these things to pass, because that's the one thing with me. I like happiness. I like joy. You know, and it's good to see, you know, that's the thing about dreams. Sometimes, you know, they're so real to you that you actually think it happened, you know, but then you have to, like, sort of separate yourself, and Most High has to make it clear to you, no, that didn't happen. It was a dream, you know, because in your mind, it really happened. There's things that it really happened to you, you know. But just wanted to share that with y'all. So today we're going to be talking about, like I said, prophets and their relationship with the Most High. So we come to understand that a prophet is a person who is led by the Spirit of the Most High to speak or sing the things that the Most High say. So the relationship is it's simple, but it's complex. You know, the prophet is supposed to obey the Most High. That's the relationship. Most High tells you to do something, you do it.
Sure.
Had a talk with my brother last week, you know, on the way over, and he was like, he said, yeah, I got the lesson good, you know, but Yahweh gave me some other stuff, and, you know, it don't really tie into with the lesson. I said, don't matter. Talk. Say it. Because that's your job as a prophet, as a spokesperson of the Most High. That's your job. If he gives you something to say, you say it.
Amen.
You know, whether it ties into the lesson or not. You know, he'll tie it in if it needs be. He's going to do it. You know, but sometimes, because we have a will of our own and we have thoughts of our own, it interferes with that relationship with Yahweh.
Amen.
You know, it interferes with our obedience to his word. because we have thoughts of our own, and we have thinking of our own. We have a spirit of our own, you know. All right. Paul wrote this in Galatians chapter 5. Starting at verse 16. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that ye would do." So Yahweh wants us to do a thing, but we have our own thing that we want to do, and it goes against what Yahweh wants us to do. But as a prophet, you're supposed to get closer and closer to the Most High so that His spirit overrides your spirit.
Amen.
You know, when Yahushua said, "Not my will be done, but your will be done," it was at a point in his life where his flesh, his thoughts, his ways were getting to the point where it was trying to override his obedience. But what he had to do was refocus on the Most High. It was a temptation. It was to a point where the flesh was rising up so much that it might accord him, if it could. He said, "Not my will be done, your will be done." You know, he beat it down. He beat that flesh down. And that's our example. We have to rely on the strength of the Most High. So, we're going to look at one of the parables. Hopefully we'll see it a little bit different. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25, starting at verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants come and reckoned with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Master, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more.' His master said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou who has been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master.' He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Master, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them.' His master said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master.' Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Master, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.' And his master answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gatherings where I have not straw. Thou artest therefore to put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I shall have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which have 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, with that parable, the master and his servants, he's reckoning up with his servants. We are the servants. The prophets are the servants. He literally calls his prophets, my servant, the prophets. So look at you being a spokesperson and put yourself in this parable like that. Because he's even going to say you're either a good and faithful servant or you are a unprofitable servant, a wicked and slothful servant is what he called them. So the servants that get the work done, the servants that when Yahweh puts something on their heart and speaks it, they're the good servants. They're the ones that's getting the talents. And I got this talent for you. Here you go. Get out there and make some more with it. So he puts something on your heart. You tell it to somebody and it sparks a fire. Because Yahweh need that fire sparked over there. Because I'm reaping over there. Even though I'm sowing with you, I'm going to sow something in you, but I'm going to reap over there. I'm going to sow something in you, prophet, but I'm going to gather over there. You know? Because that's what our words are supposed to do. When he puts that word in you, it's supposed to gather. He said, I'm going to draw all men when you obey. So if he's drawing all men, he's gathering men. Literally, by the work that and by your obedience, you know. So which one do we want to hear? Do we want to hear that we're going to be that unprofitable servant, or the one that was afraid? You know, you're afraid to speak the word of the Most High. You're afraid to say what Yahweh puts on your heart and mind. He calls that one unprofitable. Get him in the outer darkness. Matter of fact, give me back everything that I gave you. And I'm going to give it to this guy over here who's working, you know, the one who's putting forth the effort, the one who's being obedient, the one who is keeping this relationship, this, for lack of a better term, master-servant relationship. I'm asking you to do something. You're doing it, you know, the one who's being obedient to me. I won't give it to him because he's actually going to get the job done. Where you want to be slothful. You want to be unprofitable. You don't want to help nobody, you know. So therefore, you're getting out of darkness. You're not going to see any joy. You're not going to come into your master's joy when you don't do what he say. All right? Any questions or comments so far? Something else that... The brother read last week, or the week before, in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 50. It says, that blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. You as a prophet, when you agree to doing the work of the Most High, number one, you are already supposed to. He already picked you. Your blood was shed before the foundation of the world, the word say, when you come into this agreement. All right? So if that's the case, you were already sacrificed and you were already in a state where he wants you to be this thing, sort of like how Jeremiah was. I knew you from the womb. You were going to be a prophet. I picked you to be a prophet. How important is it for you to stay on that path? How important is it for you not to turn back? how important is it for you to be that sacrifice that has no blemishes, no spots, you know, work towards that goal, that high mark, you know, because the truth of the matter is the road gets rough, and sometimes you want to turn back, but your life was already sacrificed. It was already done, you know. It was already finished. So it's no, what are you going to turn back to, you know, when Messiah, oh, I find this. Because he was, he told his, okay, in the book of John, chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 64. it's a good thought. I'm trying to get the whole thought. We'll start at verse 53. All right. John chapter 6, verse 53, it says, then Yahushua said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. That bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? So at that time, he's explaining some stuff. I am that manna that came from heaven. Your father ate some manna in the wilderness, but they died because they did not partake of me. All right? So if you partake of me and I live in you, you live in me, you're going to have eternal life. I'm going to raise you up after your death. Because all those men that had that manna inside the wilderness, they died, save two. Save Yahushua and Caleb. Everybody else, gone. All right? So he says in verse 61, when they heard that, they said, what is this dude talking about? This is, I can't eat you, drink you. Are you serious? You know, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? So verse 61, when Yahushua knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? So he knew what he was saying. They was going to have a hard time accepting. And they are having a hard time accepting. Wait a minute. Y'all offended by this? Hold up now. Look at all the miracles I did. Look at all this. Look at all the works that I've been doing. And this offends you? I haven't lied to you. Why are you offended by this? All right? He says in verse 62, what? And if ye see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He's trying to convey a thought to them. All right? Verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. So these are his disciples that he's talking to. These are the ones who follow them. These are his quote-unquote totems. Right? But again, as we see here, Israel always had an issue with leadership, with teachers, because some teachers and some things are going to be hard for them to understand, and that's when they start murmuring. It's going to be some stuff that they can't accept immediately, and so it's, this Negro then lost his mind. I can't deal with him no more. Let me go. And then they go somewhere else, and then they do other things, and they get off track. And just because you can't accept it immediately don't mean that at the time it won't, Abba won't open your mind to it. You know? It's not. It's just that you don't get it right now. So he say, sit down, be patient, stay learning. I got it. He that endures to the end, that's the one that's going to know the truth. You know? So that's what he's saying. So he says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Yahushua knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
Amen.
No more. Because they could not accept the words that this man was saying. So which prophet are they? They're that unprofitable servant. You didn't turn your back on them. You no longer want to hear what the master has to say. No more. So guess where you're going to end up? You didn't took what he had, took the money that he gave you, took that talent, and you buried it. You didn't try to get interest on it. You didn't use it. You didn't get bring any usury back on it. Right? Like the good servants. Right? He says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67. Then said Yahushua unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Master, to whom shall we go?
Amen.
Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Mashiach, son of the living God. Plain and simple. They are the ones that Yahweh can work with. They the servants that he's looking for, you know, ones that believe him, ones that put something on your heart and mind, right? You have to say it. It might be a hard thing to say, but you have to say it. He asks you to do something. It might be a hard thing to do. You have to do it, you know? When we look at the life of a prophet, Hosea had to take a whore for a wife, harlot for a wife. My bad. But it's funny because I actually looked up the term for harlot, right? And when you look at it etymologically, it actually refers to a man. But now, it's almost exclusively used for a woman. When that term was first used, it was calling what we call man whores, because it was always used in terms of a man. But over time, it kind of flip-flopped, where you don't use that term with a man anymore, you use it with women, you know? But, he had to take a harlot for a wife. Yahweh told him to. This woman out got kids. She out there doing everything under the sun. And he had to still provide for this woman. And he had to take money to the lover's house so she could eat and so she could do this. And, you know, who would want to do that? You know, as a man, who would you, your wife out there doing everything and you got to chase behind her and pay for the room and do this. And nah. But Yahweh told him to do that, and him being a prophet, he had to do it. We didn't read Ezekiel, where he had to lay on one side for a certain amount of time, then lay on the other side for a certain amount of time. He had to cut his hair, his mouth was, he couldn't even talk. He could eat, not every day, but every so often, and it, he had to cook his food with dung. You know, it's that's the life of a prophet, you know. Not to mention the fact people don't want to hear you and want to kill you anyway, you know. They cut one of them in half. They think it was Zechariah. They killed him between the altar and another spot, you know. But this is what you agreed to, and this is what you signed up for, you know. So when we walk, we just keep on walking. Any questions or comments so far? Okay. So, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. Says, Yah, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who have appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds. So, again, when the Most High is speaking to you, this is how he's speaking to you. Now it's by his Son. It was always by his Son, but now they know it's by his Son, you know. So when the Son is speaking to you and he's giving you something, he's telling you these things and he's revealing to you, it's your job to reveal what he revealed to you to everyone else, right? Because his word still has to go out. His word still has to go out. So you have to be in a state and a relationship where if you don't know how to say something, you ask Abba how to say it. Share a secret with y'all. That ain't going to be a secret no more. Last week when I did the Torah portion, I read chapter 3. In Esdras. I didn't, what was it, 2 and 3? I read the first chapter, but I never read the second chapter, right? So when I was reading about the wine and all that stuff, that was literally Abba speaking to me, through me, because I never read that chapter. Never. But every time before I come up here, I ask Abba to put his words in my mouth, right? And I ask him to bring it out the way that he's going to bring it out. Amen. All right? Because one thing you have to know as a spokesperson is that Abba is with you.
Amen.
See, when we read in Peter and all them, not Peter, but all the other disciples that left, they didn't believe. They didn't have any faith that the Messiah was with them. They didn't have any faith that when it came time to reveal, right, that these things was going to be revealed, they lacked faith. They honestly did not believe. And that's an issue, you know. Now, I'm not saying don't study. I'm not saying none of that stuff, you know. But when it comes time to reveal, let Abba reveal. If he puts it on your heart and on your mind, okay, put it out there. Because, again, something that we said before, might not be for you. You know, somebody might have a question that they're afraid to ask, you know, and you might give them the answer. How many times have, like, after a lesson was taught, people come up, when you said that, it made me think of, and now I understand this, and now, you know, it's not for you all the time, you know. You have to help edify the people.
Amen.
That's why he said, Moses. We're going to read that. That's in Exodus chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 1. He says, "And Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, Yahweh hath not appeared unto thee." Number one issue with a prophet, people ain't going to believe you. Then people are just going to doubt. Okay, you can show them the words in the Bible. That's your interpretation. That's this, that's it. Any excuse, you know, because they don't believe you and they don't believe Yahweh is with you. That's the number one issue, right? So he says in verse 2, "And Yahweh said unto him, This is that, what is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it onto the ground. And he cast it onto the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that Yahweh, Elohim of their fathers, Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, have appeared unto thee. And Yahweh said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he said, he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water that thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." So he's given all these signs for Moses so people can believe him. Verse 10, "And Moses said unto Yahweh, O my master, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And Yahweh said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? And who maketh the deaf, the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, Yahweh?" So you want to talk about being of slow speech. Fine, I made you that way. But guess what? I made deaf people, I made dumb people, I made blind people, I made seeing people, I made them all. So don't say that I can't use you, or don't try to give me this little thing. I made you this way, Moses. You don't have to be eloquent of speech. Amen. And here's why. Verse 12. "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." So you don't have to be eloquent of speech. You don't have to go out here with all these big words and have all these fans use these big 55-letter words that you can say in three little short words that somebody will understand. Hold that thought. Paul said the same thing. Oh, man. Forgot how he worded it. He said, "I didn't come to you with eloquent speech or who was, do you know that, Aki?
What's going
to say that? Hold on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yep. Starting at verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of Elohim. For I determined not to know anything among you save Yahushua HaMashiach and him crucified." Look, I'm a smart dude. I could say big words, but I'm not going to come to you like that. The only thing that I'm going to declare to you is that Yahushua died for your sins. Get that. Understand that. Now, I could say it with big words, or I could dumb it down for you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to dumb it down for you. I don't want to blow me up. What? He says, verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Yahweh, of Elohim. That's why I'm doing this. When people go out and they say all these big words, it's not for you. It's for them. It's to make them look a certain way. Right? We're supposed to be able, like Nathaniel, they're not here right now. Kawa, the kids are supposed to be able to understand what we're saying. That's who we're supposed to be reaching, you know? So they'll understand, and they can continue, and they can progress and have faith in Yahweh. It's for them. It's the spokesperson's faith should be growing because he understands that he has a relationship with the Most High. Yahweh is proving himself to the prophet. So that ought to grow your faith. It makes you feel good, and I'm speaking for me. It makes me feel good where I know that I'm speaking by me. When I know, and that's why I felt so good last week, because I didn't read that chapter. And all the words that I put on autopilot, Father, I ain't got to do it. It's your lesson. These are your words. You tell them what you want to hear, you know? And when you do that and you stand on that, and he come through, or, you know, I wasn't jumping up and down, but I was jumping up and down on the inside, you know? So your faith stands with the Most High, because that's what you ought to be seeing. The people's faith in Yahweh is going to help be growing through your faith in the Most High, because they look to you for guidance. You know, you're supposed to be that example. So when you deliver the word in the right way, people's faith in the Most High is supposed to grow. Right? All right. So let's go back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 4, we left off at verse 12. He says, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Verse 13, and he said, O my master, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Moses. Moses, I just want you to do this. I just need you to say what I tell you to say. He just kept on trying to get out of it. And Yahweh got mad about that.
Amen.
You know? So when little stuff keep on popping up because you didn't do or say what Abba told you to do or say, and I can attest to that personally, that it's not a good feeling when you know that you're supposed to tell somebody something or do something that Abba told you to do and you didn't do it. You just don't let it slide, you know. Do it. Little stuff just keep popping up. Do it. Because you didn't do it. You did not fulfill your obligation of this relationship we got. You're not being obedient, you know. So his anger was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. Also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou should be to him instead of Elohim. So that's what's going to happen. Yahweh tells you to do something, you do it.
Amen.
So you the prophet, you telling the people, you are now Yahweh's mouth. He's with your mouth. You are his spokesperson. And now you're giving out this information, and guess what? When the people get it, they repeat it.
Amen.
So Moses is telling Aaron what to say. Aaron is repeating it. All the people hear it. All the people are learning. And all the people are getting taught. So it's the same thing, but we're just looking at Aaron as the people instead of the Aaron being a mediator.
Amen.
You know? Same concept. Prophet gets the word, dispense it to the people dispense it to other people. Everybody profits, and thereby he gathers all men. All right? Any questions or comments so far? All right, we're going to look at two examples of hard-headed prophets. And the first one is our old buddy Balaam. And that's in Numbers chapter 23. We start at verse 1. And it reads, "And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure Yahweh will come to meet me. And whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to a high place. And Elohim met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And Yahweh put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and said, lo, he stood by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom Elohim has not cursed? Or how shall I defy who Yahweh has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I beheld him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them all together. Why? That was the word that was in his mouth. Verse 12. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which Yahweh hath put in my mouth? That was the answer. I have to say these things.
Amen.
Right? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. And he brought him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering, while I meet Yahweh yonder. And Yahweh met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offerings, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath Yahweh spoken? And he took up his parable, and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. Elohim is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Yahweh, his mighty one, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Elohim brought them out of Egypt. He hath as it were the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what has Elohim wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that Yahweh speaketh, that I must do. I'm only doing what Yahweh tell me to do. You keep on telling me to go to Yahweh and get an answer. I'm giving you Yahweh's answer, you know. But he don't want to accept the answer.
Amen.
He wants what he wants from Yahweh. But the prophet has to give him what Yahweh speaks. Just like when, just like Ahab the king went to a certain prophet, can't remember which prophet, but he was like, I don't want to go to that prophet. He'll never speak nothing good. He never prophesied nothing good about me. But the prophet was just telling them what Yahweh said. All right, so verse 27. And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure it will please Elohim that thou mayest curse of me from them thence. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looketh towards Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. We're just going to read the first verse of, well, the first couple of verses of chapter 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Yahweh to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face towards the wilderness. Now, with that being said, we saw with the divinations, right? But his encounters with Yahweh changed how he dealt with Yahweh, right? Because now he's not using those divinations. He's not going about it. He's not circumventing anything. Right? When he saw that it pleased Yahweh to bless him, to bless Israel, it changed the way this man thought. Right? He says, in Balaam, verse 2, and Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the spirit of Elohim came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Peor, have said, and the man whose eyes are open have said. He have said, which heard the words of Elohim, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of ling aloes, which Yahweh hath planted, and as the cedars beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Elohim brought him forth out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched. He lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he. So now Yahweh's spirit came upon him, and now he's speaking like he never spoke before. Because that spirit can come upon you, and you are capable of doing things. You know, we have examples of when that spirit came upon Elijah, he outran a horse. You know, when he was praying, and that little cloud started to form, he told, I think it was Ahab, hey, it's about to rain. And he started, Ahab got in his chariot and took off. And Elijah outran that horse. The spirit came upon Samson. He ripped the lion in half. He ripped gates off, you know. And now that spirit is coming upon Balaam, and he is now Yahweh's prophet, because now he is speaking by the inspiration, truly speaking by the inspiration of the Most High. It's not like he used those divinations and formulas and stuff like that. Now he's speaking by Yahweh's spirit, and it was pleasing to him, you know. So it should be pleasing to his prophets when his spirit comes upon us and you are the, it just flows, you know, because Yahweh is working with you. And he's, it's a pleasurable thing to do what the Most High asks you to do. It gets rough because, like I said from the beginning, we have our feelings, we have our emotions, we have our own thoughts, wishes, hopes, and this, that, and another, and that interferes, you know. That's the whole point. That's the struggle. Our flesh lusts for stuff. We want stuff, you know. But as long as we keep on moving, as long as we're getting closer, and as long as we're growing, you know, we can't stay stagnant. You know, we can't get stagnant, I should say. Always inch. As long as you're taking baby steps, you're going to hit the mark eventually. You know, just take those baby steps. Any questions or comments? Right, let's look at this last example. It's in 1 Kings chapter 13, starting at verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 13, starting at verse 1. And it reads, "And behold, there came a man of Elohim out of Judah, by the word of Yahweh, unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of Yahweh, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the sayings of the man of Elohim, which have cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of Elohim had given by the word of Yahweh. And the king answered and said unto the man of Elohim, entreat now the face of Yahweh, thy mighty one, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of Elohim besought Yahweh, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of Elohim, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of Elohim said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was I charged me by the word of Yahweh, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of Elohim had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto him, what way he went? What way went he? For his sons have seen what way the man of Elohim went, which came from Judah. And he said unto him, unto his sons, saddle me the donkey. So they saddled him the donkey, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of Elohim, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of Elohim that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of Yahweh, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So, another thing, when you know Abba told you to do something, if somebody tells you something different, if it contradicts with something that Abba told you, don't do it. Be obedient to Abba. Words say, let Yahweh be true and every man a liar. Every last one of them. Right? So he says, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at that table that the word of Yahweh came unto that prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of Elohim that came from Judah, saying, thus saith Yahweh, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of Yahweh and hast not kept the commandment which Yahweh, thy mighty one, commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which Yahweh did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drank, that he saddled for him the donkey, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed and saw the carcass and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of Yahweh. Therefore Yahweh hath delivered him unto the lion, which tore him and slain him, according to the word of Yahweh, which he spoke unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the donkey, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the donkey and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of Elohim and laid it upon the donkey and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid this carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried them that he spoke to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of Elohim is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of Yahweh against the altar fell, and against all the houses of the high places, which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. So, we see what happens when you are disobedient. And in his case, he was so close to the Most High that his disobedience warranted death. You know? It's bad that, you know, it's sad that we have our own lusts. And that's the struggle, you know. Because the man probably was hungry. And he was looking at the prophet being a trustworthy man. I'm a prophet too, and this, that, and another. But he didn't take into consideration the stuff that he already knew, you know. And it cost him his life, you know. As prophets and as spokespersons for the Most High, you don't want to get to that level of extremity, so to say, where Abba has to take your life for you being hard-headed. You know, we don't want to step out here in some freak accident, you step off a curb, and it just so happened a bus comes because you were being disobedient.
Amen.
So, point being, let's just do what Abba do and keep this relationship good. You know, we don't want James yelling at us like in the clip. We don't need to anger our Father. He loves us. He forgives us. You know, so let's be worthy of his forgiveness when we screw up. You know, but any questions or comments about anything? All right. So that ends this Bible 101. And Kol Kum. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, name of our son Yahushua HaMashiach. Thank you, Father, for leading us and guiding us, Father. Father, as the word says, we believe to help our unbelief, Father. When we're unsure of things, Father, let us come to you and ask you and inquire of you, Father. Let us not be disobedient sons and daughters, Father. Father, continue to just grow us, Father, and be patient with us, Father. Make us strong where we need to be strong. Strengthen us. Make us aware, Father, of our flaws, places where you're unhappy with, that we need to tighten up, that we need to work upon, Father. Reveal to us our shortcomings. Give us the strength to overcome our shortcomings, Father. Continue to chastise us when we go for the love. Continue to keep us on your path. Father, impart your spirit upon your word. Put your words and your thoughts into his mind and let him speak, Father. Speak boldly your word, Father, that he may ever bring us closer to you.
Comfort all the back ends and
Father, continue to give us joy on the Shabbat, Father.
In the world, Father. Continue to give us joy. Somebody lost some loved ones
over the weekend.
In your
name, we ask all these praying. Hallelujah. Of the universe, rock of all eternities, all generations. The trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin fulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy.